thank you very much for the introduction. So this is joint work with Sanam Khobani Liastani, Michael Schilling and Michael Backes, all also from CISP Saarland University, and Sascha Fahl from Ruhr University in Bochum. So as you might have noticed, I'm not the first author of this paper, but instead I'm presenting this paper on behalf of the first author, Sanam Khobani Liastani, our PhD student, who unfortunately cannot be here in person to present this paper for the simple reason that she has an Iranian passport, and under current administration, she was denied the chance to attend here, and as I learned in the morning, she also will be denied the chance to attend next year. So what did Sanam do in her paper, in her work? She studied the impact of password managers on the strengths and the reuse of passwords. So why is this an interesting question to look at? As you're pretty much aware of, is that if you want to use any services on the web today, you have to create an account for the service, and that usually also entails that you have to create a password for the service. And reality and the literature has shown over and over again that humans are really bad at creating strong, non-guessable passwords, and also that there is a rampant reuse of passwords in the wild. So to help users out of this situation, to help them create more unique and stronger passwords, you usually refer them to password managers as a technical solution. And when referring them to password managers out of this dilemma, users seem to be living in golden times because there are so many options they can choose from. So they're integrated in our browsers, they come as dedicated tools such as LastPass, 1Password, etc., and they're also an increasingly popular feature of other security solutions such as antivirus products. Unfortunately, up to today, it has not been systematically been studied whether password managers actually uphold the expectations that we have, as they actually have an influence on password reuse and password strength, and if there is an influence, if this is a positive influence or maybe even a negative one. So in this paper, we looked specifically at this question whether we can actually detect and measure an impact of managers on strengths and reuse of the user's passwords. So how did we do this? What you see here is maybe the ideal workflow you might have in mind when you think about using a password manager. So when the user is tasked with creating a new password, he consults the manager to create a strong and unique password, which is immediately being saved in the password vault, and from there it finds its way into the login form, for instance, through an accompanying browser plugin. Of course, in reality, the situation is not as simple as this. So maybe there doesn't even exist such a browser plugin for the password manager, or the user doesn't want to install it, so resorts to copying and pasting the password from the manager into the login form, or some managers also essentially machine type the password by entering the password like a human in the password field. For instance, KeePass is offering this option. And of course, a human is not bound to creating the password with a manager, so he can also use all these other options like applying pen and paper algorithms, mental algorithms that are well known, such as lithification of words, or also other tools, maybe on website to create a password, or some users, power users, use also shell scripts to create their passwords. And from these different creation options, creation strategies, the password might end up in a multitude of different storage options. Some users might prefer to memorize certain passwords, or they write them down on paper, or they manage them themselves in an Excel file, Word file, or directly entrust them to their browser. And from this multitude of storage options, the password might be entered through a multitude of entry methods into the actual login form. For instance, autofilling them, copy-pasting them, manual typing if you memorized it, for instance. And of course, we also have loops. So if you enter the password through the browser, then the browser or an installed password manager might offer the option to save the password and continue managing this particular password from here on. So if you want to study the influence of password managers, you have to take this bigger picture into consideration. So the strategies of the users on the left-hand side, as well as how the password actually finds its way into the login form. And this is what we did in this study. So we derived a two-stage study. At the first stage, we conducted a sampling survey where we concretely asked participants to describe their password creation strategies. Do they resort to tools? Do they use mental algorithms? How do they create their passwords? And afterwards, how do they manage these passwords once they have been created? A subset of our participants from the sampling survey were invited to a follow-up study where, through a browser plugin, we collect in-situ data about password metrics or the context of the password in which it was entered. And in this sense here, we are adapting and extending the methodology of some great work that was presented last year at CCS by Sarah Pierman and her colleagues. So let me quickly go into these two stages, starting with the demographics of our sampling survey. So in total, we recruited 476 participants from MTurk. As you can see, our participants were slightly skewed towards participants that identified themselves as male. Their ages cover a wide range. Also, the majority was rather young. And also, in terms of education, it was slightly higher, so almost half of them had at least a bachelor's degree. More than 80 of them reported using Chrome as a primary browser to access websites. So this motivated us in our second part of our study to focus here only on a Chrome plugin for the data collection. Since we essentially want to ask our participants to install a password logger that allows us to monitor some of their most sensitive information, we were, of course, concerned with a potential opt-in bias towards participants that don't really care about their passwords or have a low privacy attitude. So we added also data points to a sampling survey where we asked participants about their general attitude towards passwords. So if they believe passwords are important to protect their accounts, their data, their privacy, or whether they think passwords are useless. And we also asked them whether they experienced some prior password leak in the past in one of these many data breaches that have occurred over the last years. So from our 476 participants, 170 successfully completed this browser-based data collection where they allowed us to monitor the password entries. And we compared with statistical testing the distribution of these demographical data points between these two groups from the sampling survey and from the browser collection, and we could not find any significant difference here. So in relation to this password attitude, we argue that the chance that we have an opt-in bias towards either end of the spectrum is unlikely. So which types of data did we collect? So like the prior work that we extend, we also collect the hashes of the passwords as well as hashes of four-character substrings, which allows us to measure password reuse, even the partial reuse of the passwords. We also collect metrics such as the password strength, measured with the ZXVVN tool here, the length of the password, as well as the composition of passwords, and the category of the website where it was entered. We also collect the entry method through which the password was entered. So here we are able to detect, for instance, manually typed passwords, autofilled passwords, passwords entered by an external password manager, and so forth. And we also collect answers to a short in-situ questionnaire. So let me give you some more details on this last point. Whenever a participant entered a password to a website that we haven't seen for this participant in our study before, we ask him, we basically popped up this short questionnaire here and ask him to answer this quickly after the login procedure. And here we asked him to basically give a self-estimate of the password strength of the just entered password, as well as a few answers about the value of the website, and so transitively about the value of the password that is associated with this website. And this should give us some first-hand knowledge about how much value this password has for the participant and how strong they think this password was. So what did we collect in the end? So if we collected from our 170 participants, 1,000 in total, out of which 1,000 were unique. That means the hash was unique in our data set if you eliminate duplicates. That means that on average, our participant had 10 accounts, but only 6 distinct passwords. And if you factor in also partial reuse of passwords, we actually find that our participants, on average, reused roughly 70% of their passwords. And these results are aligned with and also reaffirm or confirm this prior results by Pierman that there's actually a rampant password reuse out there in the wild. In terms of password strengths, we found that we have an average ZXVVN score of 2.2 out of 4, where 4 is the strongest password that you want to have, and 0 or 1 are the passwords you should definitely avoid. So 2.2 is rather unsatisfying as overall password strength, but it's also not really coming as a surprise given prior research into password security. For entry methods, we found that our participants used on average a little bit more than 2 different entry methods. So this indicates a kind of mixed storage strategy. So participants enter the passwords manually and also use autofill, or they use autofill and an external manager, etc. If you break this 1,700 passwords down by entry method, we can actually see that humanly entered passwords and Chrome autofilled passwords are by far the most frequent ones in our data set, followed by LastPass and copy and paste. So I'm mentioning LastPass here explicitly because also in our pre-studies that we conducted, we correctly identified entries by 1Password or Dashlane, etc. In our actual main study, curiously, we only had participants that rely on LastPass. If we add to this graph the number of unique passwords, we can see that there's actually a sharp drop when it comes to these human entered passwords and autofilled passwords. This already gives a first indication that passwords entered with this entry method, they actually have been reused frequently, while, for instance, for LastPass and copy and paste, the numbers are kind of equal, so there seems to be less reuse going on here. So to further explore this reuse, we can break this down with the categories introduced at CCS last year, so partially and exactly reused password and partially reused passwords added. And as you can see here by this brown colors, every entry method had been used to actually enter a reused password. On the positive side, however, coming also connecting to the previous slide, is we can see that if a password was pasted or entered by the LastPass plugin, it seems to be a little bit more on the positive side. So here we only have 47 or 22% of the passwords being reused. If you compare this, for instance, to Chrome autofill at the bottom, where we have more than 80% of the passwords being reused in some form. We can also break this down for the password strings. It's a similar picture. Every entry method here has been used to actually enter very weak passwords with a score of 1, 2, or 0. Curiously, pasted passwords, which I just mentioned, are least frequently being reused, are also the weakest ones in our set. So there is some weird pattern going on here. The users paste passwords that are very unique but weak at the same time. However, we could not, from all the data, not make any conclusions as to why this is happening, and this might warrant further investigation. For LastPass, again, it's a little bit more on the positive side, so 65% of the passwords are actually of a decent strength, so this is a good news in comparison to the other entry methods, but of course 65% is far away from an ideal situation that we would like to see. So this was only concerned about the entry methods. As I mentioned before, we also have to factor in the strategies of the user, and we did this by taking our answers to the sampling survey and discovering the dominant creation strategies that users apply. And we found two dominant strategies here. So we had a small group of participants that clearly described a way of creating passwords using technical means, such as a password generator, LastPass, etc. And on the other hand, we had a larger group of users that clearly described mental algorithms, and very, very few only pen and paper. And so mental algorithms such as coming up with random letters, and one participant even stated that he is using the same password he has used in the last years because it served him very well so far. So if we factor this in, these two groups, and we compare them, we can actually find that here also both groups, participants from both groups, entered weak and reused passwords. So it's not that if people use a password generator, they suddenly are very close to the ideal and they only use strong and unique passwords, so we didn't observe this. But there were some observable differences between these two groups. First of all, when looking at the password strength distribution, our participants in group one had a much more balanced distribution. That means the strong passwords were as likely or as frequent as weak passwords. While, for instance, for group two, there was a very clear tendency towards the weak passwords. Also, when it comes to reuse, we saw that group one actually had a reasonably high fraction of non-reused passwords. So that's what we want to see, while group two actually had a very, very low fraction of not reused passwords. So the situation here was worse. So the analysis so far shows that, or indicates that there is potentially an influence by the entry methods and the strategies on reuse and strengths of the passwords. And this might be factors that we were able to measure. And in order to gain a deeper insight to what are the actual factors that now influence the strengths and the reuse, we followed also here prior work, the methodology of prior work, and we basically resorted to regression analysis by building two regression models. So the models use the data that we collected, such as user variables from the sampling survey, in-situ questionnaire, entry method, or the password metrics. And we built one model to predict the password strength in the static CVN score, and one model to predict whether a password is being reused or not. So in the interest of time, I don't want to bore you how we exactly built the models and how they look in the end, but I directly want to cut to the results that we derive from the models that we built. And the key message is essentially, when it comes to reuse, we actually could detect an influence here, and essentially the creation strategy is key. So what we found is that if users actually make use of a password generator as part of their creation strategy and they enter the password through some digital means, so copy, paste, Chrome autofill, or LastPass, then indeed in our models this indicated stronger passwords. If you take this combination out and you look at the creation strategy and the entry method separately at separate factors without an interaction in the models, we could not see that this predicts stronger passwords. So it's really this combination of the strategy with this particular management strategy. We also could see that if users relied on a password generator for the creation of their passwords, then independently of the entry method, we could observe that this led to a reduction of the password reuse or to a smaller chance of password reuse. There was, however, one exception from this result, of something that stuck out and is, at least for us, interesting and also a little bit alarming, that when you look at Chrome autofill, here it was indeed so that when users entered the password to Chrome autofill, independently if they're in group 1 or group 2, then the chances of password reuse were higher. So our models essentially indicate that Chrome autofill is aggravating the password reuse problem that we're observing in the wild currently. Another result that we derive from our models, which I would like to mention here because it might be interesting for the community, is that our in-situ user reports differ from what we have seen in prior lab studies on password security. So what we observed is that this in-situ estimated self-reported strength of the just entered password was a significant predictor for the actually measured strength of the password. Or in other words, our participants seem to have a clear view on the strengths of their own passwords. And this is, as far as I know, in contradiction to prior results from lab studies that have shown that users actually are not really good at estimating their password strengths. And also here we think this might be something worthwhile to investigate, how this can be potentially leveraged in the future, or what is the reason for this. So to conclude, in this paper, we presented a way of or methodology for measuring the influence of password managers by taking this bigger picture in consideration, so the strategies of the user together with the entry methods, and we indeed could actually detect that there is such an influence, and in particular that if users make use of generators, this is the key to actually create a more desirable situation. However, we observed also that we are still far away from an ideal situation, so there's still work to be done, still something where we can potentially help users. So we could also have named our paper essentially Better Generated and Managed, but this takes this mysteriousness out of this, and I could already predict that this would receive different reviews from our reviewers here. Where could we go from here? We think there are a few ideas that people might look into. For instance, the study could extend to other ecosystems, such as Apple's walled garden ecosystem. This could be interesting because Google Chrome, where we focused on, for instance, does not provide a password generation option. Safari, in contrast, does. And Apple has, through the iCloud, the option to actually also synchronize between devices. Google might change this for Chrome now that they introduced Smart Lock. We don't know. But by default, this feature is hidden, so it might be interesting to make a comparison between these ecosystems, and also the mobile domain differs here. It might be worthwhile a comparison. We saw that even if you use ManageRs and a strategy for creating your passwords with some tools with help by a computer, we still have weak and reused passwords. So this definitely would be nice to investigate further. So where do these passwords come from? Did they pre-exist the use of the manager? Were those default passwords? For instance, for default passwords, we could not find any evidence in our data that this is actually go-to passwords. Or maybe these are passwords that have to be used on devices where the user doesn't have the option to install a password manager. And lastly, as I mentioned before, this particular pattern for copy and paste passwords might warrant further investigation. Why there is this weird design pattern of having unique passwords but very weak passwords, where this is coming from. And with this, I'm pretty much on time, and I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'm open for questions. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Sven, for the great talk. We have time for a few questions, so please come to the mic, state your name and affiliation, and your question.
Hello, I'm Jeffrey Goldberg. I work on 1Password. One thing that we speculate and hope is that the longer people have used a password manager, the more likely they'll shift to less password reuse. And I suspect you do not have in your data how long people have been using.
Unfortunately, we didn't look into this, but I fully agree. So I know that, for instance, LastPass introduced in 2014 the feature to also, for instance, help users in automatically updating the passwords for like the big accounts like Gmail, Facebook, etc. So this might be also a factor to look into whether people use a password manager that actually assists them in updated passwords. Because otherwise, my suspicion is also that even if they use a password manager, if the passwords predated the use of the manager, they might be too lazy to actually update this. Because it went well so far, so why should they update? So maybe it's also worth investigating how password managers can reinforce this transition to stronger passwords.
Yes, and I forgot to just thank you for doing this research, because we obviously have no information about our customers behavior, so thank you.
Hi, my name is Brian. I work for the Upside Travel Company. My question is, have you shared your findings? I guess this is relevant with this question. Have you shared your findings with the major browser vendors or password manager vendors or anyone of that nature?
I think we informed Google right now. Not yet. But also we are curious here, for instance, we only looked at Google here. And for Google, we know that the password generation feature is hidden by default. You can activate it if you want. We actually are more curious to see now with the introduction of, for instance, Smart Lock, where also Google offers the option to synchronize actually across devices just using your account like Apple does it for years. Whether the situation maybe shifts. So maybe the problem that we see with Chrome here, that is aggravation, maybe this is something that also will naturally might go away now. But this is, again, it would be interesting to see if in the Apple domain, which is where this existed longer, maybe they already transitioned to much stronger passwords, the users behave different there, so then maybe we have a prediction how it might look for Google, for Chrome in the future.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So I've been using password managers for a very long time, and the biggest frustration I have with password generators is all these idiot sites with really stupid, preposterous restrictions on, you know, you may use a semicolon but not a colon, an open paren but not a closed paren, and between 17 and a half and 13 characters, not including emojis. It would help a lot until these people really get a clue and really fix their code so that they don't have these stupid restrictions. If there were a HTTP header by which a site could say, this is the acceptable constraints on a password, which then the browser-linked password managers could read and configure the password manager itself. So you want to go come up with the syntax and push it.
I think it's a great idea. I think some of the password managers actually have some intelligence already here. So I think, for instance, Safari can detect maybe from surrounding script checks on the password field what it actually has to provide. At least this was my experience as an Apple user, that Safari actually proposed you a suitable password, not in all cases. But I agree, that would be great to help here. Also, what we actually found here interesting is for paste users, we actually think there's also a certain Cobra effect here, because certain websites, or a lot of websites, actually started preventing pasting passwords.
Like I said, there are a lot of idiots out there.
So I think our results also show that there's a certain Cobra effect going on for pasting passwords.
Okay, thanks.
So we'll take one more question, and I'll ask the next speaker to come sit up.
Yep. Thank you. Alain Forget, Google. So lots more data is going to the cloud, and particularly with like password managers like LastPass and things like that. Those things are going to the cloud too, but securing the cloud is hard. Password managers like I think LastPass has been hacked in the past.
Yes, multiple times.
That's pretty terrifying. And in fact, I find that problem. That's one big thing with password managers that, yes. that I'm concerned with. While your focus here was the Google, I'm concerned. What are your feelings about sort of password generators and managers that are cloud based?
So we actually saw this also in our answers that some users said I'm using something like LastPass. But my highest value passwords, for instance, my banking, I only keep in my mind. So we saw answers in this direction. So I think this is also something users are aware of. And we only looked if there's a positive influence. The question how we can now really align this with really this kind of user expectations and so on, this is something I think we have to find a middle ground between keeping the password strength high enough, the reuse low enough, but still supporting, for instance, users in this particular like mixed strategy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's thank our speaker one more time.